Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing. Always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true transparency pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
Time to preview game three. Get a behind-the-scenes aspect of the Predators team that no one else can give. Someone who played with this team last season, Uncle Vern with us on the Midday 180. Vern, it's great to have you on, man. How are you?
Hey, good, guys. How are you?
Excellent. Now that you're official as a part of the Midday 180 throughout these playoffs, does this mean we will receive the invitation to Vernapalooza?
Vernapalooza, you guys have your invite in the mail. You should have got it by now, actually.
Tell us about the craziness of Vernapalooza.
Well, it's a lot of Speedos, a lot of bikinis, lots of Tito's, any kind of booze you can get your hands on. That's what we're doing. So,
all right, well, sold.
Terry Crisp and Pete Weber have promoted that more than anybody I know.
We missed you on the roof. You owe us one on the roof.
Yeah, you know what? My daughter, we were on our way down there, and my daughter's puked in the Uber, so we plans got changed.
It's a good excuse. You should tell her to drink less.
Too much tequila at Tootsie's.
Vern Fiddler with us on the Midday 180. Big game tonight at Winnipeg. What is it like in this postseason, tied 1-1 as a player, knowing that game three is a big swing game? Chad to my left here mentioned, you know what, win game three, that way the pressure's not as massive for game four. How do you feel about it?
Well, yeah, it goes down to that five-game series now where, you know, this is kind of the swing game, and you can really set yourself up, and, you know, you get that first one, it's, you know, you're kind of playing with casino money the first game when you're, you know, it takes the pressure off for sure on game four, but this is probably the biggest game of, you know, the series. You don't want to go down by a game and you know, and have the chance of going down 3-1 going back home, so there's a lot of pressure on this game, and, you know, hopefully the Preds could come to play.
Last postseason, opening up on the road in the postseason, it produces a different mindset, doesn't it? Being at home, access to the family and friends, maybe a few distractions here and there, but on the road, you walk out, you hit the bus, you go to the arena, you play soccer, and then you're ready to play. At this stage, now with two games under your belt, is it easier to just go to Winnipeg and play hockey and not have to deal with any of the other distractions?
Yeah, it is. It takes a little bit of the distraction away from it. You just get on the road. You're in the hotel with the guys. You know, they have a room set up for you where you're just playing video games and doing rehab and stuff, but you're all together. You know, you get on a bus, there's no distraction. You know, you can just kind of focus on hockey, not worried about getting a whole bunch of tickets and stuff. So, you know, teams tend to play a little bit simpler on the road too. So, you know, it's just one of those things where, you know, teams tend to play a little bit, you know, a more simple game on the road. It's going to be a tough game in the MTS Center because it's one of the smaller buildings. It feels like you're playing on a rink that's 85 by 75. So, they definitely got their work cut out for them tonight to anticipate a strong start from the Jets, craving off the crowd, and it'll be a good test for the Preds.
Verna, as we know, home team gets last change. What is the process of communication like on the bench as the first road game of the series is evolving? Lavi, he's keeping tabs on Maurice, getting the lines that Winnipeg is sending out, and then coming up with the counter to that. Nashville was able to get their number one line opposite Winnipeg's top defensive pair as much as they could manage, but now Winnipeg has the opportunity to control that.
Yeah, and in the playoffs, that's a huge part of it. The matchups are, you know, everything. You can kind of get that, they'll be trying to get that Scheifele line away from, you know, the matchup, and, you know, the coaches, it's like a little bit of a chess game where they're trying to get their top line against, you know, the bottom three or four line and, you know, try to, you know, get after those guys. But, you know, our bottom, well, the Preds bottom, you know, six forwards, they do a great job with Sissons and, you know, Watson line. They've done a great job against those top lines. So, you know, Lavi's got a lot of good players to play against those guys. So I don't see the matchup being a huge factor tonight. It's, you know, it's just one of those things where the top players got to outplay everyone. And, you know, the Preds depth guys have been, you know, the best players in the series, both series up to this point, I think. So, you know, they might want to even try to get, you know, let them get that matchup just because they've played so well against, you know, the bottom six guys.
In game two, we saw a lot of turnovers. It seemed like we saw a lot of guys maybe getting burned out of position. We talked with Stu Grimson about it. He talked about kind of defensive irresponsibility. How much, in your eyes, did the Preds get away from kind of the consistently reliable positioning and puck possession that we've come to expect? And how big a problem is that if they can't get it together?
Yeah, last game, I mean, it was you know, you could really see the turnovers were an issue. And, you know, the Preds, you know, kind of put themselves in a bad spot, a couple different situations, you know, going into the end of a game with a lead like that. And, you know, there's games where you got to manage it. You got to get those pucks in at the blue, get the pucks out at their blue. You know, they're really going to have to focus on that because, you know, the Jets are a real good transition team along with the Preds that they could turn and go and make stuff happen off the rush. So, you know, you'll probably see a little more simple game from the Preds getting the pucks in and not letting the transition game take over like it did in game two.
When you look at the play of Pekka Rinne, of course, he's replaced at the end of the second period in game one, gave up four goals in game two. How much of that is Pekka maybe not seeing the puck that well? How much of it is defensive irresponsibility on the part of the Preds?
Well, yeah, they can't leave Pex. He's been incredible, and they can't leave him out. They can't leave him out to dry like that. They're giving up way too many quality A chances, and you know, this is a game where you kind of got to, you know, take a little bit of load off of Pex because, you know, he's not going to be able to make these saves the whole series. He's going to have to, you know, they're going to have to tighten up defensively. You know, the Jets can really put the puck in the back of the net, and they got some guys that can really make you know, nice shots. So. I would anticipate Labby had a meeting about that to tighten it up a little bit inside the middle of the ice and try to contain the Jets to the outside of the ice would probably be their best way to look at it.
Vern, one of the reasons why we're really excited to have you on twice a week during the postseason is to be able to take us behind the scenes of this locker room. What's the Pekka Rinne mentality just before game time? Take us inside the locker room with him.
Well, he's a really focused guy, but at the same time, he's a good leader. He's not a guy that, you know, you can't talk to before a game. You know, he's just as big a leader as a Fisher in there and our Johansson or Josi. He's just, he's a very focused guy, but he's also a guy that's been around and, you know, an old veteran guy that can calm down the room. I know a couple times last year we, you know, weren't playing our best and he came in the room and, you know, settled the guys down with a few comments, and you could really see that the team, you know, the shoulders went down, and everyone was like, "All right, boys, let's just play hockey." Pex is right, you know. So he's a really big part of that leadership, and you usually don't see that out of goaltending. They're, you know, usually focused on their job, and but that's what's so great about Pex is he's just one of those guys that full team guy. That man, he could be a captain of a team for sure.
Vern, I thought P.K. Subban went a little bit over the top with how glowing he was about the Preds' performance in Game 1, saying they played great and they played a lot better than Winnipeg, and if you play that way, you should win the game most of the time. And maybe some of what he's saying is true. But here's what I'll ask you about those comments. How much of that was also directed at maybe the young guys in his locker room showing them publicly, hey, this is the way we need to play in terms of getting pucks on net?
Yeah, I think it is. I think you're right. You gotta make everybody the believer, and you know, I think PK did that with voicing that in the media. But I mean, there's no secrets this time of the year. Everybody knows what you got to do to win hockey games, and you know, he's just you know, doing his interviews, and you know, I know the media always takes everything a little bit and over exaggerates everything, but I mean, there's no secrets in the playoffs right now. Everybody knows how they got to play, and they got a great leadership group in that room that, you know, those young guys are going to follow them no matter what's said in the media.
How does the room change from a regular intermission to intermission between third period and first overtime and then maybe second overtime, third overtime? What changes in there? What are you doing in terms of eating? What are you doing in terms of trying to get your legs back?
Oh yeah, for sure. There's as later the game goes on, even after the second intermission, you're eating because you really haven't eaten since noon. You've had a little snack, so you know, the longer the games go, even in overtime, you know, they're bringing in you know, fruit and, you know, maybe even a little bit of pizza to, you know, get some energy under your belt. But, you know, the longer the game goes on, there's definitely things that you can do. You can jump in the cold tub in between, kind of, you know, air the legs out a bit. Guys take their equipment off, change their underwear and their shirts and stuff like that. So, you know, try to make yourself feel fresh. Get a nice, comfy pair of socks put on under the skates and, you know, try to almost start the game over so you're not feeling so, you know, heavy and wet, and, you know, you try to get dried off so you can, you know, kind of start the period fresh. So those are, you know, kind of a couple of things you can do in between periods.
People everywhere rejoicing that pizza could be a good dietary supplement for professional athletes in between periods. Everyone wants to go on that diet now. Eat as much
it's
pizza
just like
as possible.
The press box. You guys go for all the peanuts and popcorn and taco bars and sodas, and, you know, they're going for a little
bit. You got to go for the energy, that's for sure. Jeremy Roenick, after the game, or not after the game, after the regulation on Sunday night, was very critical of icing the puck in late game situations that eventually led to the Scheifele goal with 1:05 left that tied the game up. Is that just common practice now in the NHL? Are things a little different maybe than when Jeremy Roenick was playing? Because he acted like you're going to get an earful from your teammates if you repeatedly ice the puck late in games like that.
No, you know what? That's the new era. You take the chance at the net, and, you know, they do stats on it, and I think it's pretty high. If you go for the net, you got a chance of, you know, better chance of winning the game instead of just trying to eat it in your zone. And, you know, I've had different coaches that, you know, some say don't ice it at the net, but I've had my last three coaches have said, you know, let's go for that net and, you know, try to get up, you know, get up by two. And, you know, it actually has worked over the last 3 years. I didn't like it at first, but then, you know, it started working more and more. I don't know if you guys remember in Dallas 3 years ago, we had the most empty net goals in the league, but yeah, I had a few of them. I'm actually golfing with Tyler Seguin right now, and he said you had all of them. But you know, you have a better chance of winning the game when you get up by two goals, and, you know, you got to, you know, trust your centerman that you're going to win draws and rely on your defense to get those pucks out. But I know now in the old era, they're like, oh, you're being selfish going for a net. But a lot of the strategy from the coach's side of it now is, like, let's just go for this. And, you know, these guys can shoot the puck so well and their accuracy is so well now that, you know, taking a shot at the empty net isn't as hard as it actually looks.
Vern, we've been waiting for this series for so long. This is the first real deal home game for Winnipeg in these playoffs. Is it possible that Winnipeg is too amped? What will Winnipeg be dealing with tonight and trying to stay grounded?
Yeah, you know what? They're fired up. They got fans outside the MTS Center, and, you know, they're going to be driving in, and people are going to be wearing white. It's going to be a whiteout. There's going to be a lot of energy in that building, and, you know, they're going to try to be physical right off the bat. That's what they do in their building. And, you know, like I said before, it's a really small building, so, you know, they almost try to intimidate you a bit. So, you know, this is a big test for the Preds, because usually they're used to dominating at home with the fans and getting the seventh man involved. And, you know, they're going to be in for a big test with this fan base, because it's going to be a crazy atmosphere. These Canadians, you know, they're going nuts for their playoff hockey, just like they do in Nashville. So I can't wait to tune into the game and watch it myself.
Vern Fiddler, our guest here on the Midday 180. We all have our guy, Vern, the player we appreciate in the way they play the game, the effort and mentality, whether that's on the court or on the field or on the ice. Do you have that guy with this Predators team, the player you enjoy watching compete on a nightly basis?
Yeah, you know what? I've Colton Sissons is a guy that really stands out for me. He's a guy that, when I came and got traded there, I knew him a little bit. We played junior in the same town with the Kelowna Rockets, and I always heard such great things about him. And as such a young guy, he's such a great leader, and, you know, he's so strong on his feet. He does a lot of the little things right, and you see how much trust Lavi's got in him. You know, taking faceoffs at the end of the game with him and Bonino, lefty righty. I mean, he's just one of those guys that just does everything right on and off the ice at all times. And you know, he's a guy that, for my son, it's like, I want you to watch this guy, because he does everything right all the time. It's never just half the time. He's blocking shots. He's, you know, penalty kill, and he's playing against the top lines. He's starting defensive zone every shift almost. You know, he just does so much of the little stuff. And then in big games, he's bringing offense, and, you know, he's scoring big, huge goals, and he's been a great addition to this hockey club, and he's going to be a big part of it for a long time to come, because You know, he's a young guy that has the leadership qualities of a Mike Fisher, and he's just going to be one of those guys that they better keep for a long time, because if they don't, he'll probably end up hurting them in the long run.
I want to get inside the psyche of a player real quick. Game one, Preds, they miss on the open net early on, and they had all the momentum. It was tilted ice. They looked like they were going to break through. They don't score in that first period, and I thought it affected the team moving forward in that 4-1 loss. Now, in game two, I'm thinking Scheifele scores a minute five left. This team is going to be deflated now, having to go to overtime, and they were clearly the better team in overtime. So I guess my question is, for a fan watching the game, you start to mentally read in to different things. Does any of that matter for a player? Can things actually deflate you, like missing on the open net, or is it just simply the next shift comes out there and no one's thinking about it?
You know, you can. I mean, the mental side of it's so huge, not only in the regular season, but in playoffs. I mean, you miss a net like that, and you're like, oh, man, the game should be over. But at the same time, with the leadership group they have, they probably went in the dressing room and said, boys, we're one shot away from winning this game. Let's focus on that, you know, get a little bit of rest, get some fluids in you, and let's get back at it and go out there and win this game for the fans. And, you know, they came out and they were ready to go. You could tell right off the bat that, you know, they wanted to go after that game and win it. They weren't sitting back waiting for something to happen. They went out and got it, and they got the job done. So, you know, they got to take a little bit of that mentality, I think, into this game three in Winnipeg, because, you know, they're going to come ready to play, and hopefully, you know, Winnipeg's a little bit over physical, and maybe they can find themselves on the power play and take advantage of that.
Vern, who do you need to see more from in this series? Who are you watching for immediately tonight?
You know what? Right when I said Kevin Fiala, I told my son, he snuck down from bed. He's like, we told his sister that everyone was going to bed. He snuck down, and I told my son, I said, well, you know what? We got to see more out of Kevin Fiala and Kyle Turris. And you know what happens? Kyle Turris makes a great play in front of the penalty box. And, you know, Smitty makes a great play over to Fiala, and he buries it. So, you know, I think that that might boost their confidence a little bit and give them a little bit of energy. And I think they'll have a really big game tonight.
Have you seen Bufflin ragdoll two players the way he did the other night?
That was crazy. I've been in the other side of that guy. You don't want to mess with him. He's a huge human being, and those were two pretty big guys he had.
Yeah,
it was like they were off the ice, and just their legs were just dangling there.
Is he really mean, or is he just sort of like big brother mean? Like if you tick him off, he's going to do something like that.
He's a friendly giant, but man, there's not many guys in the league that are strong as that guy. You got to be careful with.
So is he cool to hang out with away from the rink?
You know what? I've only had a beer with him a couple times. Seems like a really nice guy, and he's a really great player. So it's kind of an interesting fella, how big he is, and you know how those big guys are. They're usually friendly giants.
Right. Vern, thank you, man. We appreciate the insight today. Let's catch up later this week.
Awesome, guys. Go Preds.